Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good Sunday morning, friends, and welcome to a reading from the good book, Attack of the Killer Asparagus, written by the man who has inspired so many, Mike Nowak. You can support this book at the click of a mouse on Kickstarter.com. Just saying. Today's reading is from a little essay called Critter Control. And now, Mike Nowak. Thank you, friendly announcer. Let me pass along some tips on how to keep critters out of your garden. Let's start with deer. Here's how you keep them out of your garden. Ever seen the movie The Great Escape, where Steve McQueen tries to ride a motorcycle over two big honking fences in the German countryside? Barbed wire fences. That's what I'm talking about. However, for those of you who have LCD projectors as part of your fancy schmancy home entertainment systems, some researchers suggest projecting the first 15 minutes of Bambi on an outside wall. Because raccoons are very sensitive creatures, you should set up a sensor attached to an audio system that will begin hurling insults at them when they cross a trip beam. Call them lumbering fatties. They hate that. Or third-rate burglars. For some reason, they're very sensitive about the Watergate break-in. You might even program the tape to harangue them about their inability to obtain antibacterial soaps. They fancy themselves clean animals. Ever notice how they constantly wash their hands? Now that's an animal that could benefit from therapy. As for voles, mice, and chipmunks, come on now. Don't you see the pattern? The common size. They're all the same animal. They simply put on whichever disguise they need at the moment. No human has actually seen a vole, so how do we know what they really look like? A mouse moves so fast that we think we see it out of the corner of our eye, but was it really there? And yes, we actually see chipmunks, but how do we know that they're not just mice or voles or something completely unexplained by science in striped padded suits designed to confuse us? How do we know that there aren't two mice in that padded chipmunk suit, huh? Huh? I'm now going to wash my hands and go out into the yard to insult some raccoons. If I'm not back in 2 days, tell the police to look in the vole tunnels.
From the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. If he saw a shadow this morning, there will be 6 more weeks of gridlock in Washington, D.C. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Well, good morning. This is not Mike Novak.
No.
No, in case you don't recognize the voice. I know my tenor is just a little bit higher than his. But Mike is not here today, although we tricked you by having a quick lead-in from Mike as he was reading an excerpt from his new book. But we actually have Kathleen Miller in the studio today.
Actually, we have Kathleen Thompson.
I mean, Kathleen
and
Thompson.
And you're Lisa Albrecht.
And I'm Lisa Albrecht. Thank you very much. I forgot that part. And Denny Sheeter as well. Where is Mike?
Mike's in New York. Because he, well, it started in 1985 or 86. He co-authored a play called The Signal Season of Nummy Hoy with Alan Meyer. And it was produced here in Chicago. Very successful, big hit, because it's a wonderful play. And we had a great time with it, too. It was at our theater company, the Commons Theater. And there was even a Dummy Hoy Day at White Sox Park.
Well, and Dummy Hoy, I thought this was really fascinating because I had never heard of him before. Mm-hmm. And Dummy Hoy was a deaf baseball player who played in 1888. I'm going to struggle today with names and numbers. And we'll get there. Daylight savings time. For those of you who are, you know, not sure, you are listening to the first hour of the Mike Novak Show. Hopefully everybody has switched their clocks back. I know I woke up 55 times last night to see. Apparently it happens around 2. That's when I noticed that my watch and my cell phone no longer were in sync. Sometime around 2 a.m. So he was a deaf baseball player, and I thought this was fascinating. Because he was deaf, they invented signals.
Well, that's certainly the, it's at least the legend and probably the truth, that he came up with this way to get the umpires to signal because people were quick pitching him because he'd have to turn his head to find out what the call was. So, he came up with this thing, changed the game of baseball. And he was actually a very, very good baseball player. He ended up playing for the White Sox, which is why they did a Dummy Hoy Day when we did the play. And the cast sang the national anthem.
Oh, how great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Dummy was played by a wonderful, wonderful actor named Dean Canavino, who at the time that he auditioned was in beauty school.
Oh.
Because there weren't a lot of roles for deaf actors. But mm-hmm. he was brilliant. And the show went to Off-Broadway. And then it, and in fact, one of the characters was played by Nancy Travers, the actress that has gone on to do a lot of other things, including Three Men with a Baby.
Oh, now I know who she is.
Yeah. But then the play started being done all around the country. It was done in California, in Oregon, and now it's done by high schools. I mean, high schools are allowed to cast someone who is not deaf in the lead role. The professional productions have to use deaf actors. It's a funny and very interesting and engaging play. And now it's being done in New York Theater. New York Deaf Theater is the name of the theater. And this weekend, there's a conference called Real Abilities. R-E-E-L, abilities. And the scenes from Dummy Hoy are going to be done at that conference. So Michael went along, and he and Alan are going to be talking there. And he's going to stay for a couple of rehearsals. So this new cast is going to have to deal with him, too, just like all the others.
Well, that's remarkable, though. I think Mike clearly is a man of many talents, and I love the fact that he went to New York because he was not sure whether he was going to, you know, leave the show and head off, and I'm really glad that he did.
I am, too. But, you know, he has been acting like a parent who's leaving the kid with a babysitter for the first time.
That's really
funny.
And
it's not even the first time, but, you know, he's just sort of been acting that way.
Right. No, I'm sure it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but, Mike, hopefully we'll manage 2 hours. We'll miss you, but we'll manage 2 hours.
And he's probably listening right now, so I better be a little bit careful about what
I'm saying. I think that he is, because I posted something on my Facebook page and somebody liked it, and we've agreed I'm not on Facebook on Mike's page,
and you're not on Facebook on Mike's page.
So there's a mole out there somewhere,
Or a chipmunk in a little chipmunk suit,
right? Who knows? They scurry so fast. So Mike's also got some other exciting stuff. You and Mike are working together on a new Kickstarter program for a book called
Attack of the Killer Asparagus. Yeah.
Right.
It's Attack of the Killer Asparagus and Other Lessons Not Learned in the Garden by Mike Novak. Now, the people who listen to the show know that Mike can be funny, but what people who haven't read his humor writing don't know is that he is like the Dave Barry of gardening. He has that kind of inconsequential, you could never imagine that next line humor, you know, or P.G. Woodhouse, if we're talking about an earlier generation. The fun of his humor is you're reading along and then he says something, you think, where the heck did that come from? What's going on in this man's brain? And he's been writing these columns for Chicagoland Gardening Magazine since 2003.
Oh, that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was joined in 2008 by an illustrator named Allison Hunter. And she is like his Jeff McNally. She has the same kind of weird brain that he has, so she comes up with illustrations.
Well. Now, is it her artwork that's on his website, MikeNovak.net?
Mm-hmm.
That is her artwork. Okay, great.
And she's done a lot of illustrations, and they will be sprinkled throughout the book. She's doing some more new ones for the book, too. And we're going to be... Mike did... that thing, that opener. By the way, I told Mike, I said, I handed him this thing. He's an excerpt from your column. Would you just record this before you leave? And he turns it into a production with music and an announcer. And where did that come from?
Oh, I know. He's remarkably creative.
But I'm going to read just a little excerpt from one of his other columns. And I'll be doing it a little straighter than he was. But... this is called Arc de Disaster. The ultimate definition of an optimist may very well be a person who looks out at a mass of brown, unrecognizable foliage, twisted, broken, defoliated branches, and lumpy gray-green lawn and says, yep, looks like it's going to be a good gardening season. Who are these people? They've certainly never seen my yard in March. I've been trying to imagine an analogy, and the best I can come up with is Noah's Ark. Now, bear with me. I'm not exactly a biblical scholar, but I seem to recall something about God wiping out the earth with rain or snow or something pretty wet. It might have been tangy tomato aspect. Don't quote me on that. But the other thing I remember from my Bible studies, or maybe it was a Classics Illustrated comic book, is that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and the world was flooded for 150 days, at least according to King James, who was apparently quite the biblical scholar. That's about 5 months, or about the same as a Chicago winter. Okay, maybe not quite as long as a Chicago winter, but you get the picture. Anyway, at the end of that time, when the ark wound up perched on a mountaintop like a big beach ark, Noah looked around and, according to the story, saw a rainbow. A rainbow? Are you telling me that he didn't look around at what must have been a pretty unappealing world and say, who's going to clean up this mess? I mean, the guy was already about 600 years old, and his kids were probably going to be pretty busy repopulating the world. I think all Noah knew who was going to get stuck with the core orator. Now, see, this is why Michael doesn't let me on stage.
You're doing a great job.
I just blew his joke. I just stumbled and blew his punchline.
Well, it's a good thing we're not live because we can edit that out.
Oh, right.
Right? Uh-huh. Denny, you can scrub that, right? Oh, we're on a time delay. We'll just scrub that right out.
Noah knew who was going to get stuck with the core aerator and who was going to have to remind people not to walk around on wet soil because it was going to get all compacted. And then how would they grow barley and lentils, huh? So anyways, the reason I did that is to show that it's not just Michael making the words funny. The words are funny.
Right.
Even when I read them. And the whole book is just full of that kind of sort of wacko and delightful humor, and occasionally some good information about gardening, but he really tries to avoid that.
All right. Well, you are listening to the Mike Novak Show here on WCPT, AM 820, AM and FM, Chicago's Progressive Channel. We're going to go to a quick commercial, and then we'll come back with Kathleen Thompson. This is Lisa Albrecht, and we are the Mike Novak Show today, and we'll be right back.
If you've ever filed a lawsuit, you know that it can be stressful, even traumatic. And if you've been exposed to asbestos, silica dust, or other lung toxins, you're going to need a law firm that can guide you through the legal maze efficiently and effectively. The attorneys of Penn Rakowski are exactly who you're looking for. They view each client and their needs as unique. They're focused on one thing and one thing only, lung disease. And they're based right here in Illinois and Wisconsin. The lawyers at Penn Rakowski have been representing individuals suffering from lung disease and their families for a combined 35 years. And because they're local, they can come to you. They've successfully represented asbestos workers, electricians, carpenters, machinists, and others throughout both states. Contact Penn Rakowski at dustlaw.com or call them toll free at 888-LUNG-LAW. That's 888-LUNG-LAW. Penn Rakowski, local, committed, caring.
Have you noticed that there's something going on in the food industry? It's becoming much less industrial. People all over Chicagoland, the U.S., and the world are rediscovering fresh, local food. Thursday, March 13th through the 15th, the Good Food Festival and Conference makes its return to Chicago at the UIC Forum. There will be urban farm tours, workshops with experts in a range of fields, and exhibitors from across the country sharing the latest in sustainable food systems, public policy, and of course, great food to enjoy. Just visit goodfoodfestivals.com to learn more. There, you can purchase tickets, get directions, and check out the workshop schedule and the exhibitor list. Sustainable local food systems can transform our communities, our environment, and our economy. But it's up to us to get informed and get involved. It's the 10th Annual Good Food Festival and Conference, March 13th through the 15th at the UIC Forum in Chicago. Brought to you by FamilyFarmed.org. For more information, go to GoodFoodFestivals.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If you thought you'd never see a cold, snowy winter again in Chicago, don't you feel silly? It doesn't mean that the planet isn't undergoing huge climatic upheavals, but that's for a different part of the show. Our job here is to tell you that the Care of Trees can come through for you with 24-hour emergency service. When bad, even catastrophic weather hits, your trees can be vulnerable and pose risks to your safety when they fall on buildings, cars, and especially other trees. The Care of Trees has 24-hour emergency service. They will show up quickly, get the job done safely, and minimize further risk to your property and your loved ones. To talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees, call 800-508-9466. 800-508-9466. Write it down and call that number for a free consultation. If you call today, leave a message and your call will be returned tomorrow. Or see thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davy company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
Back. You are listening to the Mike Novak Show. And if you didn't recognize it, I am not Mike Novak. This is Lisa Albrecht. And in studio, we have Kathleen Thompson here as well. And you know what I realized? We did not preview the 10 o'clock hour.
We jumped right into what was supposed to be the green room.
Right. So
all right. We haven't been perfect.
We'll edit. We'll edit the podcast.
Lisa, you're just under the wrong impression here.
There's no editing.
There's no editing.
All this time. You mean I've been on the show for a year and a half and there's no editing?
No editing.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
So preview the second hour for us, Lisa.
Well, what will we have in line today? Because Mike is traveling. He is being honored in New York for a play that he wrote about 20 years ago. But he has left the show in our charge. And what we've got today is Kathleen Thompson is working with Mike on a Kickstarter for his new book, Attack of the Killer Asparagus and Other Lessons Not Learned in the Garden. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, well, of course, at 9:45, we will have Rick DeMille, who will hopefully tell us that we are in the final stretch here. He did warn us last week that March averages 8 inches of snow, and it seems as though it's working very hard at achieving that 8 inches. What, I think it snowed 3 times this week. So at 9:45, we'll have Rick DeMille to find out what's happening ahead of us. And then when we get into the 10 o'clock hour, excuse me, if you've been listening, you know, of course, that Mike has been the media sponsor for the Good Food Festival, which will be at the UIC Forum next weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we will have Jim Slama, who is the father of the Good Food Festival. And we are privileged to have him calling in. And then we will also have with us at that same time Paul Saginaw of Zingerman's Deli, which is, you know, the Food Festival is split up in a couple of different ways. Thursday will typically concentrate on good food financing and innovation. So people who are interested in the business side of food would show up for Thursday's events.
And that's a place where a lot of people get funded. I mean, they get the networking, the contacts, and the information they need to get an actual business funded.
So if you're listening out there and have thought, gosh, I wish I could start X or Y or Z, that would be a great resource to show up on Thursday. And then we'll talk to Jim some more about Friday's events, which is typically the trade show part. And then Saturday is really the festival and workshops themselves, where you have a lot of local food artisans, chefs, educators, and people showing up for a real fun, interactive day. And so we will, in the 10 o'clock hour, be talking to Jim Slama and Paul Saginaw, again from Zingerman's Deli. So we're looking forward to that. So now we can go into the green room.
Now we're going into the green room.
And all right, so let's
start talking about Mike's new book, yes. Attack of the Killer Asparagus, which is very green.
Now, your role in the book, you are editor?
I have this small publishing company called Around the Block Press. And the mission of the company is to publish books by people who have been around the block a time or two and know what they're talking about and have something to share. This is actually our fourth book. I did one earlier this year by a woman named Anne McGravy, who is a Chicago playwright who is very well thought of in the theater community and has written award-winning plays, but at the age of 85 has now written her first novel. And I published it, Dancing on Ashes. So now I'm publishing Mike's book. And we've been talking about this for quite a while because the columns are just, they are very funny. They are many, many people who read Chicagoland Gardening Magazine go to the back page column before they read anything else in the magazine because it's so much fun. So we thought, well, we'll just take the best of them, the ones that are the most fun, and we'll make this book out of them. So we are doing that, but we are doing a Kickstarter, and I put that up on Facebook and immediately had questions about what is a Kickstarter. So I'm going to really briefly explain what that means. There's a wonderful website where creative people, artists, inventors, a wide range of people can go when they have a good idea, and they ask people for backing for the idea. Now, these are not donations because when you do back one of these ideas, you get a premium. So, for example, Mike's book, if you back Attack of the Killer Asparagus with a $20 donation, you get the book sent to you as soon as it's published. And you also get an MP3 of Mike and the Frozen Robins singing some of his Christmas Carol gardening parodies.
Oh, so you also get music.
Yeah, so you get a little bonus if you do the Kickstarter. Now, if we raise the money that we say, you know, on the Kickstarter, $5,000, if we raise that full sum, then we get that money to print the book and do the other things that are left to be done on publishing the book. If we don't get the $5,000, then we don't get anything. So that means you're making a pledge when you back the thing. And if we don't get enough money to do what we need to do, Amazon.com will not charge
forward,
your credit
right.
card.
Mm-hmm.
It's done through that. Your pledge is done through Amazon.com. So the one point that I want to make here that we're not making any place else is that one of the things that Kickstarter is not about is supporting causes. You're not allowed to ask for donations for the American Cancer Society or your Little League team's uniforms. No causes. And we're not asking for, and you can't promise to donate part of the proceeds or anything like that. We're asking for the money to print the book. However, what's going to happen with the book after it's printed is that it will be sold at garden centers, garden club meetings, festivals like the Good Food Festival, and the proceeds of the book are going to help keep the Mike Novak Show on the air. So if you have been listening to the Mike Novak Show for a while and you would like to see it continue and you might like to help, then contributing to the Kickstarter is one way you could do that, because the sales of the books will help keep this show going.
Well, and I think that's a great point, because a lot of folks probably don't realize that Mike's show is funded primarily through advertising, of course, and that's one of the reasons why we love our constant advertisers. The Care of Trees has been with the Mike Novak Show for a long time now, and, you know, we have really great companies. I think we are really lucky that.
Yeah, and you make a good point. You know, if you go to the Mike Novak, .net website, Nowak, all the sponsors are on there, and you can find out who you should be supporting.
Right. Support those
who support this show.
Well, and the great thing with the Kickstarter, and I was the first donator on the Kickstarter.
Yes, you were.
Investor, would I be called an investor?
You're a backer.
I'm a backer.
You're not a donator.
I'm a backer. That it does allow you to support Mike's work and all of his great knowledge about gardening and bringing humor into the garden and allowing us to do what we do each week. So
it's a good opportunity. I mean, a number of shows on this and other stations actually ask people to help support them, and Mike has never done that. He's never gone out for donations or anything like that. But even especially if you like the addition of the environmental news and interviews and so forth. That goes on this show year round. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of the advertising is during the gardening season. So it could be very helpful to have another source of income in, December.
Right. Indeed. Well, and you know, Mike has built such a great reputation. We are, the media sponsor for the Good Earth Film Festival because that is going on today, and I wanted to give folks a plug to make sure that they take advantage of getting out there today. So now I've blended it all together into one huge event. How about the Good Food Festival?
There you go. Yeah,
that was difficult to spit out, but so. Because of that, being a media partner, we actually have some tickets to give away.
Yes, we do.
So we were thinking.
And then after we give away the tickets, I'll tell people how to do the Kickstarter, okay?
Oh, brilliant. So we were thinking we would have a quiz for listeners. So if anybody listened last week, we had a remote broadcast. We had a lovely day. Kathleen, you were there at Colatex Bakery at 2445 North Harlem Avenue, right at Grand Avenue. And that was what a day. See, this is all more stuff we were supposed to talk about at the top of the hour before we got to the green room.
Well, know.
Well, you know.
We're talking about it now.
But it was such a fun day. And one of the fascinating facts about the bakery itself is that they have a variety of different breads that they cook.
A lot.
Or bake, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And so our question to listeners, if you were listening last week, please call 773-763-9278 and let us know how many kinds of bread does Colatex Bakery bake? And we'll help you out. Just in case you can't remember, but you were listening and you need a little hand, we're going to make this multiple choice. So was it 22, 32, or 44? So again, how many kinds of bread does Colatex Bakery have that is 22, 32, or 42? And give 44. 44 and give us a call at 773-763-9278.
And now let me say how you can go to the Kickstarter.
Yes.
First, the easiest way is to go to MikeNovak.net. Remember, that's MikeNovak.net. And on the homepage, the front page of the website, there's a Kickstarter poster kind of thing. And you just click on the word Kickstarter, right? It's right under Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and Kickstarter's hot.
Yep, the Kickstarter. You click on Kickstarter, it'll take you right to... and then you'll get to see a very funny video of Michael. And you will read what the various premiums are for backers. And if you like what you see, then you can back it. And if we get the money, you'll get a book. If we don't get the money, you won't get charged. Right now, we're coming up on $1,500, getting very close to $1,500, and this is exactly 1 week since we started it. It's a four-week campaign. So in the first quarter of the campaign, we have raised almost a third of the money. So we're starting out pretty well, but we sure could use some help.
I think that so we have 39 backers in the first week. I think that's great. But it looks like we've got a couple callers calling in. I'm not sure if we have any winners yet. But again, that quiz is how many kinds of bread does Colatex Bakery have? 22, 32, or 44? And it looks like we might have a winner.
Do we? Do we have a winner, Carrie?
Yeah, I believe so.
Online. She might still be talking to him.
She probably is.
Maybe I saw a little too quickly.
Yeah, we got him. His name's Brandon, and he may know the answer. Let's find out.
Hi, Brandon.
Hi there. I listen every week. I know the answer is 44.
Ding, all ding, right. All right.
That's fantastic.
Your voice is a little familiar there, Brandon.
Well, I just listen all the time. It's a great show.
That is Brandon Levitt of Solar Service, I can hear. And yes, he's right. There are 44. So,
I thought I did a phony name, but that didn't work last time.
No, we recognize your voice. We do have tickets for Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. And so we'll let you work that out with Carrie. To determine which those days that you want to go, we have a pair of tickets so that you can bring someone if you would like.
That was great. Thanks a lot, Lisa.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thanks for listening.
Good job today.
Oh, thanks.
Cool.
So the Kickstarter. So so people can go online. And then it was a really simple process. Once you get online, it's just a matter of credit card and you're in. And the Kickstarter is going to last for a month?
Yes. And if you don't, if you want another way to get to the Kickstarter, you just go to Kickstarter.com and then you search for Attack of the Killer Asparagus. If you don't feel silly typing in Attack of the Killer Asparagus, which you might feel a little silly about, but you know.
Well, how did the name come up?
How does anything
come through Mike's mind?
Just through Mike's mind. I've known him for 36 years, and I don't know. He's got a mind that's filled with every single association that has ever come into his brain from the time he was in knee pants, you know. I mean, television theme songs. He knows theme songs for My Mother the Car and things like that. And he'll burst into them at a moment's notice. And the columns, you read them and you think, that sounds familiar. And it's some kind of advertising slogan from 1975 or something like that. But I know that part. I don't know what makes the other stuff,
work.
But Allie ran with it. I don't know whether you're seeing it now at on the Kickstarter page, but
no, I noticed it's gone.
It's gone.
The asparagus is gone. Look.
Oh my gosh! What happened to the asparagus?
I don't know where the asparagus went, and it's not. And so I cut you off. So Allie is his illustrator, and she picked up on the theme.
Yeah, and did this wonderful killer asparagus, which is just a hoot. She had earlier.
I hope they haven't been arrested. The killer asparagus. Well, I don't know. Where did they go?
I don't know.
I hope they haven't been arrested. Because it was there before, which was a great example of her artwork.
Yes. Well, now it's not there, but there's examples of her artwork in the video. So if you watch the video, you can see not only Michael being a very funny man, but some of Allison's work as well. So that is that's sort of it for the Attack of the Killer Asparagus and the Kickstarter. You got the information you need, and we don't want to harp on it because this is not the fundraising marathon or anything like that. I just want to get you up to date on what's going on, and then we can move right on out of the green room and talk about anything we want to talk about.
All right.
In the green room.
Yiddick.
So you are listening to the Mike Novak Show. This is Lisa Albrecht, obviously not Mike Novak, who is in New York right now traveling. And we have in studio with us Kathleen Thompson.
Yep. We're going to be going to Rick DeMaio very soon. But I have to tell you, this morning, even in spite of all the warnings about daylight saving time, I went online to see if my phone, I said, you know, will my cell phone change by itself? And every website I went to said, your cell phone will change by itself. I don't think they were really aware of how old a cell phone can be, because my cell phone is old.
Kathleen, and that's a flip phone.
I don't have a smartphone. I have a flip phone.
It's a flip phone.
My smartphone doesn't have the right time yet. So.
You're kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that an iPhone?
So you know. Yeah, yeah.
You have an iPhone and it did not switch.
No, it still says 8:39.
Now, my Samsung did a good job this morning. Although, like I said, I was nervous about it. And so I kept waking up and I kept thinking, will it go back to the old time? So then I'd wake up an hour later and look at my watch and look at my
phone. I know. I got dressed in 30 seconds while the cab was waiting downstairs to bring me here.
Well done. Well done. Well, hopefully our listeners are safely and tucked in bed and enjoying a morning and not needing to rush around like those of us who are in studio being crazy. So we are going to be coming up with Rick DeMaio here shortly, who will be joining us and hopefully will be warning us that we can have some shorts weather. I heard 40s and 50s, so we'll have to find out whether or not Rick is right about that. But this is the second year that we've been encouraging you to enjoy the fresh vegetables in your kitchen each week by purchasing a CSA share from Purple Leaf Farms. CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. You're right there, Denny. Which means that you pay up front, and when summer arrives, you get weekly shipments of produce that are fresher than what you'd get at any store. We knew that Jessica Rinks from Purple Leaf Farms would be at the Good Food Festival next week at the UIC Forum, and she was at Colatex Bakery last week, where you can stop by and talk to her personally. But we did not know that she would also be singing some songs in the Band of Farmers talent show, which will be taking place
really?
On March 15th, so Friday night, from 7 to 10 at the Hideout in Chicago. It's a great way for people to support local farmers. Meanwhile, consider a CSA from Purple Leaf Farms. She sings and flowers are part of your delivery. Sign up today for more information and go to purpleleaffarms.com or call 312-437-7542. That's 312-437-7542.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
If anyone ever tells you you're as old as ferns, well, I hate to break it to you, but you've just been insulted. Mainly because, as you'll learn in the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, ferns have been around for almost 400 million years, almost as long as Mike has been doing radio. The good news is that, like Mike, they can adapt to almost any condition. Deep or dappled shade, sun, wet, and almost dry areas, even AM or FM frequencies. And did you know that there are 76 fern species in Illinois that are native or naturalized? The same as the number of native trombones. And don't forget that every issue also features Mike's column on the inside back page. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine at all locations over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Novak Show here on WCPT, AM and FM, Chicago's Progressive Talk. I am not Mike Novak. I am Lisa Albrecht. And we have in studio Kathleen Miller, Denny Shooter, and what?
Butchered
I keep
both
saying
of those.
Miller. I know. I don't know why I keep saying that.
Why did you
say
Kathleen Turner?
Kathleen
you know,
Turner.
You could do Kathleen Turner. I don't mind
you
being...
You know, you could actually do
I don't
Kathleen
mind
Turner.
Being mistaken
I don't know
Kathleen
why.
Turner.
I apologize. I don't know why. I am nervous. And
oh,
I,
you
I
just
know
have known a Kathleen Miller
Kathleen
sometimes.
I don't know why I'm doing this. yeah. So, back to that editing. But, and, all right, let's focus. So we have Rick DeMaio on the line. Rick, are you there?
I'm here. And
I didn't butcher your name.
That, what's that?
I didn't butcher your name.
No, you didn't. But that hour difference has quite the effect on your voice there, Mike.
It does, doesn't it? It does. It
yeah,
does.
Absolutely. And I can hear Kathleen on the side also. How she sounds different as well.
Yeah.
Good morning, ladies. It's
good morning, Rick.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sunny Sunday, and one of these days they're going to make our clocks change by themselves. Now we got to go around and pull all those things off the wall and move them back, and then everybody does the same thing. Is this the year where I actually set it to be exactly the right time as opposed to 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 minutes ahead, so it makes us move faster when we're late, when we really know we have 5 more minutes? Isn't that right?
Right.
Why do we do that?
I don't know. I actually gave up on that a few years ago. My clocks are correct. Although the only clock I have is my microwave.
The only clock you have in your whole house?
Yes.
Wow.
And my cell phone. I guess the watch on my arm. And that's it.
There you go. Now I know what to get you for Christmas.
Well, I was excited to see, too, my car changed all by itself. I'm digging my car.
And I still have to figure out how to change it. It's not an easy thing to do.
But whoever remembers how to change the clock in your car, that's...
Don't do it when you're driving. I think some cars you actually can't do it while you're driving. There's like a little nasty note that comes up with like a sad face.
Yeah, my car is total nanny state. It won't let me do anything when it's in drive.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, especially since I think I can multitask.
You know, Lisa, you were mentioning earlier about, you know, the fact that it snowed 3 times this week and how quickly we forget. All of a sudden, it's a beautiful day today. And even though it was kind of a cloudy, yucky day yesterday, it was gorgeous on Friday. Yet we had 2 inches of snow on Wednesday. We had 1 inch of lake effect snow on Monday. And now all of a sudden we're sitting at 76 inches of snow for the year, 1 inch away from the third snowiest winter ever, but a real far cry from breaking that record of 89 inches set back in that winter of 78-79. Don't know if we're going to do that. We got to have one big storm come through to do that. No, we don't want to do that.
I'm fine not doing that. I am not an overachiever when it comes to snow. I'm totally fine. I'm happy with 3. I take the bronze, no problem.
Yeah, but you know what? I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the benefits of the cold and the snow this year. And I know some people are saying, what benefits? But believe it or not, there are. In fact, the record number of, or the record percentage of ice that we had on Lake Michigan still stands. That was also set back in 1979 when we hit 94% of the Great Lakes. And people say, well, how did that compare to what we should have? Well, typically during the course of any winter season, since we've been measuring the ice on the Great Lakes, and the really best way to do it is with satellite information. We really didn't know how to do that until about the early 70s. So it's not like we've been doing it for 120 years. But we reached 92% of the ice on at least the surface of the Great Lakes covered with ice. On Wednesday, the normal is about 51. So think about it that way. 40% above normal. We hit 92%. And due to the fact that we kind of warmed up a little bit on Friday, and we're warming up today now for the higher sun angle, means that that record back in 1979 most likely will continue to stand.
Good. That's the news I need to hear.
but here's the better part. We were talking last week about how the ice on the Great Lakes actually keeps the Great Lakes from evaporating, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
They, believe it or not, have had very little snow across the UP of Michigan and northern sections of lower Michigan, and even the lake effect snow that we had on Monday here was really quite rare, considering that Lake Michigan was at that time about 80% covered. It was amazing. I always like to call it the Great Lakes, or at least the hydrologic cycle on steroids, where you can get that much lake effect snow this late in the year with that little bit of the lake open. But the fact that we've had so much ice on Lake Superior has actually shut down the lake effect snow machine. So they've actually had less snow in the UP in northern lower Michigan in the month of March and pretty much the second half of February than we've had in the lower latitudes. Also, the fact that the lakes froze up so soon really slow down the evaporation process. And I have a feeling that when these ice, these amazing formations of ice begin to melt, we're going to see that the lakes are down probably a good 6 to 10 inches than they were at the beginning of the winter. But if we didn't freeze up these lakes, we'd probably be down at least another foot. And that's some minor benefit of the ice on the lakes.
Wow, I had no idea there was that much evaporation every winter.
Usually on a winter that is cold but not cold enough, you can lose easily 8 to 10 inches in the course of about 2 months. And we saw that a couple of years ago when we went into the spring of 2012, where it was such a warm winter. But every time you get cold, where do Lake Effect clouds come from? They come from the Great Lakes. Where does Lake Effect snow come from? They come from the clouds from the Great Lakes.
Yeah, no, that whole crazy thing called the hydrological cycle.
Yeah, and it's really quite amazing. And another great thing about the fact that the lakes have actually remained frozen and will probably remain frozen for at least another, at least 2 or 3 weeks, particularly far north, means that the surface temperatures in the land across the areas like Door County, the Keweenaw Peninsula, northern areas of lower Michigan, they're probably not going to warm up as much, which means that the cherry trees and the apple trees most likely will not produce blooms as early, which means that the chances of them having an early frost, because remember back in 2012, everything bloomed out, and then all of a sudden we had a frost and we lost half the apples and cherry trees.
Right, yeah.
So to some extent, it's like keeping the refrigerator door closed for a longer period of time. So everything is going to start a little bit later and will be somewhat back to a more normal cycle. Also, in that area of southern Lake Superior and northern Lake Michigan, the whitefish, which have been decimated in the last few years, their spawning has been off-center due to the fact that we've had, you know, not enough ice and too much warming. This actually keeps them at a more stable ecological system. So I think some of the benefits out of this, and also the fact that the snow that we've had has a lot of moisture in it, and this is percolating down in the soil, and the warm weather we had on Friday, beautiful day we have today, up to almost 45 degrees, probably mid-50s tomorrow.
Really? That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. I drove down to Springfield yesterday to do a talk, and it was nice to get back to Chicago, because in Chicago you see Starbucks every 2 or 3 blocks. In Springfield, I took
not so many miles,
if that. But there's very little snow on the ground once you get south of Joliet. So once that warm weather comes up here, we're going to have a nice, slow melting to the snow, percolate down into the soil. That's exactly what we need to start off the spring season, which begins in 2 weeks.
Well, oh my gosh.
I was noticing at my parents' house yesterday up in Antioch, it seems to me that since the snow that's at the bottom is really hard and icy now. And
right,
so it seems to be melting much slower than I think in the past when I've remembered snow cover and we had a 40 degree day. It gets really mushy and there's a lot of more flooding, but is that a bad assumption that because that bottom stuff is really icy, it's going to be a slower melt and hopefully we'll actually get this back into the ground instead of into the sewers?
Well, you told us, didn't you, a couple of weeks ago that the rain we had soaked into the snow.
Right. Exactly, Kathleen. You know, what happened with that, and Lisa, I'm glad you mentioned Antioch, because the snow depth across northeastern sections of Lake County as of 2 days ago, it was 15 inches. This morning I checked, it's down to 8 inches. But that area, northeastern Lake County, southern or southeastern Wisconsin, still has the highest snowpack anywhere across Illinois and southern Wisconsin, because that little warm push that we got with that rain, the temperatures never really got above 40 degrees for more than an hour. So we had very little snow melt. So in addition to the fact that they had more snow to begin and they had so much less snow melt, the snowpack is much, much deeper up there. And because the rain that fell didn't really melt the snow, it just kind of trickled through the bottom. What you're referring to is that bottom part has a lot of water in it. And also, obviously, it cooled down again because we had some pretty cold temperatures last Monday, only highs in the teens in a couple of days where we got below zero. That, again, is probably kind of thickened up that snow where you have almost like a concrete layer down there.
So Rick, the other day I got out of the car, walked across snow that was almost 2 feet deep, and my footprints were less than 2 inches deep.
Yeah,
it's cold down there.
Because it's really frozen all the way through.
I also noticed, Kathleen, a couple of days ago when we began to melt, it wasn't so much you got out of the car, you walked to the sidewalk. You had to walk like 3 or 4 houses down to figure out which puddle to be able to
get
over.
Yeah.
Because there's so much snow out there. So we finished up the season with the third coldest temperatures on record, and it was amazing. Through Wednesday, we were averaging 18 degrees below normal for the first 6 days of the month of March, which was phenomenal. And we had 7 inches of snow already. So it wasn't like March started out like February. March literally started out like January.
Mm-hmm.
We had a high temperature on Monday of 14 degrees. That was the coldest March 4th in 130 years. But the good news is the pattern is relaxing. It looks like we're losing the grip of the Arctic air. And hopefully, whatever we get into from a melting standpoint, it looks like that's going to happen, is going to be a slow one, which is what we need for this time of the year.
Well, I'll tell you, I had begun to think that with age, I had just become a weenie, that I just couldn't stand the cold the way I used to be able to. And then in the last couple of days, it was below 30, and there was wind blowing, and I was just fine.
Oh, yeah, this all seems easy now.
It just seems like a piece of cake. You know what?
It's funny. We tend to grow thicker skin during the course of the winter. And as soon as it warms up, we pull that skin off and we realize we're still kind of wusses. but yesterday was kind of one of those days where it was like you lost a lot of the snow. Everything has that 14 different shades of gray. The sky was gray. The trees are kind of brown and gray. And it looked like you went, ugh, give me February where the sun's out and the grass is white and the sky is blue. But really, I think this time of the year it becomes the most challenging mentally because you're teased with these days of sunshine and 45 degrees, and all of a sudden the weather turns and you go, ugh, what is this? I was hoping to get the good stuff, and that's not the case. March is, I think, probably the most fickle month that Chicagoans have to endure. Not so much November because you know what to expect. But in March, you're expecting it to get better, and it comes so slowly sometimes. And even when you get into April, it's like, all right, already, come on, will you kind of warm up a little bit? But you have noticed if you've been in a car with the windows up and even the heat off, that sun is pretty strong. It'll warm you up.
But, you know, March in Chicago is when people quit their jobs, leave their boyfriends and girlfriends and husbands and wives make huge change.
That.
Yeah, it's. I was told by a friend years ago, make no major changes in March because that you're making it because it's March, not because your life sucks.
I'm planning on moving at the end of the month. Is that not a good idea?
Might not be.
I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, real quickly as we wrap this up. The sun angle right now, because we're 2 weeks away from the first day of spring, the sun angle is the same as you get on about the 3rd of October. The 3rd of October, you can have an average high temperature of about 65 degrees. Average right now is 45. That's because we're coming out of winter, a lot of snow on the ground, a lot of cold. So the amount of radiation we get is still pretty strong. So 45 today, if you go about 50 miles to the south and they hit 55, they go 50 miles to the north, it may only be 35. So this is the time that you get these wide temperature swings. Beautiful day tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if the far southern suburbs may actually hit 60, probably close to 53,
wow.
54, maybe 55 here in the city. Unfortunately, Monday looks to be a little bit cooler, only in the 40s and then back into the 30s on Tuesday. But still nothing in the way of anything really cold coming back at us. But without a doubt, we can have a couple of days in the 30s by the time we get into Thursday and Friday by the end of the week. Many big snows right now on the horizon seem to be holding off. A big one goes up the East Coast on Thursday. But for us, I think the chances of any snow over the next week, probably less than an inch. And the chances of precipitation in the form of rain, probably less than a half inch. The temperature is pretty much about 5 to 8 degrees above normal. So there's your climactic
forecast right.
for the next 7 days.
Well, great news. Thank you so much, Rick. And we are, this is the Mike Novak Show, and we will be back at the top of the hour with Good Food Festival. Keep tuning in.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Here he's not again. Actually, technically, this is the Mike Novak Show. You're listening to WCPT AM and FM, Chicago's Progressive Radio. This is Lisa Albrecht filling in for Mike, who is in New York with a film or a play that he wrote. And in studio, we have Kathleen Thompson. See how I
learned. That's very good, Lisa. Lisa Albright.
Oh, brother. And you can certainly always follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Look for Mike Novak, that's N-O-W-A-K, or Mike's website, which is MikeNovak.net. MikeNovak.net, where you can find a listing of everything that we're doing by going to this week. There's a tab specifically for this week. Or if you've missed past broadcasts, for example, last week we were at Colatex Bakery on a live remote out there, and you can check out our podcasts every single week at MikeNovak.net.
And while you're there, check out our sponsors, because they support this show very generously, and we should all be trying to support them.
Well, especially here in the spring, because we have a tremendous amount of things happening in the spring, and it's time to start, you know, waking up and getting ready and getting back out into the garden, and Mike's sponsors are, you know, really great about that. So we are second hour here. Thanks so much to Rick DeMaio for telling us that we're not going to have snow this week and that we could actually hit the 50s and 60s. I think that's a lot more encouraging.
Pretty exciting.
That's a lot better than last week when we heard that March averages 8 inches of snow.
That was not so good.
That was not
I'm really getting stir crazy. After my yoga class yesterday, I said, you know, I feel so much better, but I realize that's because this is the only exercise I've had all week, because I haven't been going out walking and
doing things. Well, it hasn't been quite enough to shovel. I mean,
no.
We haven't shoveled that much. We've been just, I think everyone, there's shovel fatigue out there.
I'm noticing
the sidewalks are not getting shoveled anymore. And I know it was a little less snow, but I think that people are, you know, people are getting done and not wanting to be
out
there.
Are leaving their chairs in the parking spaces nonetheless.
Really?
Yeah, in our neighborhood, we have people who are still dibsing their cars.
That's just silly. That's just silly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, this is Mike Novak's show, and I am excited because we have a couple great guests. For those of you who are unaware, there is a tremendous festival that's coming up this weekend, starting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the UIC Pavilion, is the Good Food Festival. And today on the phones, we have Jim Slama. Is it okay, Jim, if we call you the father of the Good Food Festival?
Well, certainly the founder.
Okay.
And, yeah, and producer, and I like to go there and have some fun.
Fabulous. And then we also have on the phones Paul Saginaw. Welcome, Paul. Paul is with Zingerman's Deli in Ann Arbor, and you will be part of the Good Food Festival this coming week.
Yes, I will. I'm looking forward to it.
And so let's start with you, Jim. So for the folks that have not attended the Good Food Festival, and this is actually your 10th year, congratulations.
Thank you.
Very exciting. I'm sure that, you know, when you first started, did you have any idea it would be going this long?
Well, for years I had gone to the Natural Products Expo in California, which was a trade show for organic and natural foods. And, you know, like, it's going on this weekend in L.A., and over 50,000 people are there, and it's this trade show bringing everybody together. And we didn't have anything like that in the kind of sustainable local food world. And so, you know, when I launched it, I had hopes that it would turn into the gathering place, at least a regional gathering place for people who cared about this, for businesses, for farmers, for consumers, for trade buyers. And you know what? Sometimes your dreams come true, because it has.
Well, so that's pretty interesting, because I think you brought up a good point, and that is that there's an awful lot of content here for a lot of different people. So food obviously touches everyone's life, some because it's their form of income, some because, you know, we are all consumers. But so that the Thursday, could you break down how you have the festival organized? Because I think it's interesting that there's different days focused on different groups and their specific needs.
Sure. Well, Thursdays are Good Food Financing and Innovation Conference. And, you know, basically we realize that there is a need for farmers and food businesses that are, you know, kind of young, not well capitalized, to grow. And in order to grow, they need either loans or they need somebody to write them a check as an investment. And so we created this event, 4 years ago as a way to connect these farm and food businesses with money. And so, you know, now, you know, we've got Whole Foods co-CEOs giving a keynote this day, and, you know, some real leaders nationally in food financing and innovation speaking. We've got some successful businesses talking about their stories. We've got some funders talking about what they're looking for in deals. And we've got over 20 businesses that are seeking capital, farms and food businesses, who at the financing fair will meet with investors. And six of them will actually present their business to the audience. And, you know, hopefully they'll get some action and get funded. And actually, over the last 2 years, businesses that have been part of this have raised over $5 million in capital.
So are you kidding?
Working. No. I mean, it's working. It's a good
Wow. Deal. Wow. And what types of businesses have they funded then? CSAs or?
You know, well, I mean, like one guy, Joe's Blues, had a big blueberry crop last year, and he was, it was either get some money to freeze it, or they were going to sit on the vines and rot. And so, you know, he was part of our financing fair the year before. So, you know, I hooked him up with Slow Fig, which is the sustainable local food investment group. And, you know, they made a loan to him and he froze his blueberry crop. So that's on the small side. On the big side, there's Farms Here, which is now turned into one of the largest vertical farms. So it's an indoor farming project in a 90,000 square foot facility that is growing greens and basil and other crops. And, you know, Farm Here has raised millions of dollars to get financed. They're employing 25 people. And, you know, it's a huge success story. And we played a very important role in helping them get financed.
Well, and vertical farms are something that I find very interesting, especially as we, you know, have more and more food challenges and the environment, you know, has more and more risks. Can you explain us a little on the value of a vertical farm?
Well, you know, it's hyper-local. So basically, mm-hmm. this farm is in Bedford Park, 2 miles west of Midway, and it's serving the Chicago area. And, you know, it's certified organic. When it's done, they'll probably be growing $15 to $20 million worth of food a year in this facility and employing 150 people, most of whom are, you know, young people. Some of them are coming out of Growing Home, which is a program that works with homeless people and trains them to be organic farmers, or Windy City Harvest, which is another great program ran by the Chicago Botanic Garden that works with at-risk people, some ex-offenders. And so, you know, it's changing these people's lives by, you know, giving them living wage jobs. And simultaneously, you know, they're growing a lot of food for, you know, selling it to Whole Foods and Mariano's and other retailers and soon to be restaurants. And, you know, it's really pretty amazing. And they do it in these very probably a couple hundred feet long. And then they stack these beds on top of each other. They're using LED grow lights. And it's an amazing thing. I mean, their arugula crop, from the time they plant the seed till the time it's harvested, is only 14 days. So, you know, they're turning around arugula, you know, 26 times a year, you know, out of the same bed, which is pretty remarkable.
That sounds incredibly efficient. And speaking of employers, Paul, we have Paul Saginaw from Zingerman's Deli. Now, your business, you'll be presenting. What day will you be there, Paul?
I'm not going to get there until late on Thursday, and I'm participating, speaking and on a panel on Friday and on Saturday.
And what will the focus of your presentation be?
Well, that's a good question, Jim.
Well, you know, Paul's all about entrepreneuring. And if you haven't been to Zingerman's in Michigan or purchased products from Zingerman's, which is, you know, one of the best delis in America, according to a whole lot of people. And Zingerman's has created how many businesses, Paul?
I'm actually representing Zingerman's community of businesses, and we're currently a community of eight separate operating entities. We started out with Zingerman's Delicatessen. There's now Zingerman's Bakehouse, where we produce traditional stone hearth oven breads, pastries, specialty cakes, There's Singerman's Roadhouse, which is a full-service restaurant that features traditional American food. We have Singerman's Coffee Company, which sources and roasts coffees. Singerman's Candy Manufactory. We make some just amazing candy, the best candy bars you've ever had. We have Singerman's Mail Order, where we ship our products around the country. Zingerman's Training Company, Zing Train, which their main product is our two-day seminars where we train, we teach the systems that we use internally. I think there's some other businesses, but I'm missing them. One of my partners will be mad at me, I'm sure. And part of and attached to part of Zingerman's Roadhouse, we have Cornman Farms, which is an operating farm which supplies the Roadhouse with produce and livestock.
Well, Paul, how are all of these businesses connected to each other? What is the?
They're connected. They're connected really by a shared vision. A mission and a set of guiding principles. We started in 1982. Actually, I'm going to be speaking on our 32nd anniversary. March 15th will be our 32nd anniversary.
And
my partner Ari Weinzweig and I opened Zingerman's Delicatessen in March of 1982 with myself and Ari and two employees. We did a little under $100 our first day. And we'll end this fiscal year with, I have 17 partners across eight businesses, about 650 employees, and around a little over $50 million in sales, all local. All of our businesses are local.
Wow.
We're related to each other in that Ari, my partner Ari and I are partners with all the other businesses, but they are, they're independent legal entities. And we share a brand and a vision and a set of guiding principles.
That's a very interesting way of doing things, Paul.
When we first opened, my partner and I, a part of our vision was that we wanted to be unique, and we said that if we were ever going to grow, we would never do it by replication, either by a company-owned chain or franchising. We felt that if there's more than one of you, you're not unique anymore. And we really wanted to be great and not big. And we had never seen an operation that was, you know, really good and then went on to grow by replication and got better. We always seemed to lose energy and lose focus and lose quality. So about 10 years into it, where I wanted to have dynamic growth for our organization. I wanted the people that work for us to be able to afford to live in the community, to raise families, to send their children to school. And I wanted to have a robust benefits package. And in order to have that, we needed growth. And we decided we would grow by offering the opportunity to the people who worked with us to be owners in the brand and to pursue their own dreams within the scope of our vision. And so everybody that's a partner currently, other than me and Ari, they all started as frontline employees. And then they were entrepreneurial. They discovered a passion for a given product or service. And we worked with them. We helped finance that. And we wanted to have synergy where we were customers and suppliers of each other. And that's how we grew the organization. And we continue to grow. We work on long-term visions. Our current one takes us to the year 2020, and we say we'll have 15 to 18 food-related businesses all in Ann Arbor.
But each one of those businesses is run by an individual with a personal vision. So that's an amazing thought of way to do things.
Well, and a great way for employee retention, too. Why have them take their great ideas someplace else? Why not foster that? Support them and have them be part of the family. I mean, that sounds like a bit by the philosophy that you guys have been running under since 82.
Certainly from 94 was when we started to expand, but In 82, our philosophy was that we wanted to have an organization where decisions were not made based on who had the most authority, but who had a solution, who had a good idea, who had information and data relevant to an issue that we were dealing with. We wanted to push decision-making as far down in the organization as we could. And we are what's now known as a open book organization. So we practice open book management. We invite everybody to come in to help run the business. We teach everybody, financial intelligence, and we have everybody understand that they're personally responsible for the success of the business. So we share the winnings.
Well, I think that's exciting. I think it's remarkable that you've managed to hook up with Jim Slama, or Jim Slama has found you and poached you for the Good Food Festival. Jim, I know we've had a couple of the presenters over the last couple of weeks. So Friday's workshop is going to be more on, I see there's a session on food policy, and there's, an incredibly robust website. If you go to goodfoodfestivals.com, you'll be able to get the schedule, sign up for tickets. What else can people be in store for? Oh, which reminds me, we have a question. We wanted to give away some more tickets. We have another question. So before we talk about Don't Mention Friday Night, because we want our listeners to guess, we have a multiple question, a multiple choice question. The evening of Friday night, there is a banquet. And it is named, and we'll give you three choices, Deli Local, Localicious, or the Best Foods Banquet. So please call us at WCPT, which is 773-763-9278. That's 773-763-9278. And let us know the name of the Good Food Festival. Could you make that harder to say? Banquet, which is Deli Local, Localicious, or the Best Foods Banquet. So the first caller with the right answer will get a pair of tickets for the weekend. Yes, so Jim, I cut you off. So what else can people look forward to?
Sure. Well, just to affirm, we're really excited to have Paul on board. And he's going to be part of the opening symposium at the trade show on Friday, along with Will Allen, the rock star farmer from Growing Power, Fred Kirschenman, who's also another amazing farmer. Fred's doing a whole thing on ancient grains, both on Friday and Saturday. How do we grow and process more ancient grains in the Midwest and create a whole lot of more opportunities for family farmers and also consumers and businesses that want them? The head of USDA Farm to School program speaking, the head of the USDA Agricultural Marketing Services. And there's a great story in the New York Times today about a lot of new money in the farm bill. And Ann Alonzo's one of the people who runs one of those very big programs from promoting local food. So Friday is all about trade. And, as I said, we started the, first sustainable local food trade show 10 years ago, and it's still here. And all the big trade buyers in Chicago now come to the show. Paul's also doing a program on growing your business with value-added products. So, and Friday's just chock full of things, butchering and retailers and everything else. So, how you learn about the business of food. And then, of course, there's that yet-to-be-named party on Friday night, which is the best party of the year for local foodies, 600 people. We've got a bluegrass band. We even have a band of CSA farmers who are doing a preview of their talent show that's going to happen the next day at the Hideout, but they're going to be doing a little performance, and so it's fun. And we've got 25 restaurants plus, of course, all the craft beer and spirits and local wineries are there. So it's a very fun day.
And so for people who let me ask you real quick. For people who might not necessarily be able to, take off time, if their jobs don't allow them to be there on Friday, they certainly could come to the reception Friday night, having not attended any of the other events.
It's a separate ticket. Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm. And it's really a party. It's a benefit for a nonprofit. And it's really a fun time.
And what is the nonprofit? Could you?
Sure. Our nonprofit is called FamilyFarmed.org. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, our mission is to promote sustainable local food.
And that banquet, that evening, that reception, whatever you want to call it, is fabulous.
Which it does have a name, but that's for listeners.
But I've been a couple of times, and I've been introduced to some wonderful restaurants because the foods are wonderful foods cooked by local chefs, and they have. Correct me if I'm wrong about my memory, Jim, but I remember, I think, there were wines from both Illinois and Michigan.
Yes, indeed.
And it's a lot of fun. Music, it's a great time.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. It's not to be missed if you're into this stuff.
Well, and I'm noticing more and more restaurants in my area. I was actually, sorry, I got distracted because I wanted to see who's going to be there, what restaurants and what wineries, because I'm noticing more and more menus that I come across say, you know, that the chicken was from this farm in Illinois or the eggs were from this location in Indiana. And I'm loving when I do go out, noticing that more and more. I would imagine that this is becoming a trend that it was part of your vision of hoping to see in Chicago and elsewhere.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, our first trade show 10 years ago, you know, we had 300 people there, 50 farmers and 300 people there. A lot of the people there were trade buyers, a lot of restaurants who were increasingly interested. It's just taken off from there. You know, some of the restaurants or food businesses that'll be there, you know, even at Eataly, you know, the new kind of Mario Batali Italian theme park, food theme park, Emporium in downtown Chicago, they're going to be there sampling both, you know, prosciutto di Parma from Italy and then some, you know, local salumis from, you know, done here in the Midwest. Life Kitchen, a new restaurant that was created by the former president of McDonald's, has now launched an organic restaurant called Life Kitchen, and I think they've got over 10 now across the country. They just opened a Chicago one, and they're going to be there. We've got five different Let Us Entertain You businesses, Paris Bistro and Big Bull, you know, a few of their other properties. Brown Trout, Chicago Diner for the vegetarians, and Big Jones, Paul Fairbach. And Paul is one of seven James Beard recognized chefs that are going to be doing demos primarily on Saturday. And to have that many James Beard recognized chefs in one place, you know, is pretty remarkable.
Oh, it really is.
Yeah. Well,
really
Brown.
Proud of that kind of representation.
Brown Trout was a restaurant that I specifically had in mind, and not only do they buy locally, but they actually walk down the block to buy from the weekend food. Holy cow, I'm losing my words.
Farmer's Market.
Farmer's Market, thank you so much. From the Farmer's Market, I mean, talk about buying local. They come straight down to the street. Because I was working at a Farmer's Market at a vegetable stand, and we would always, you know, siphon off tomatoes and various herbs and spices that we knew that they were going to be needing that day. So, you know, and Catherine Ann confections. If nobody's tasted Catherine Ann's candy, you definitely need to be there Friday night, which we do have a winner. Steve apparently knows the answer to our question. Steve, what is the name of the Friday night banquet?
It must be Localicious.
It is Localicious. It
you
is
got
indeed.
It, Steve.
Thank
so,
you.
Steve, we'll be, if you'll hold on and talk to Carrie, we're going to get you two tickets, and you can work out with Carrie what you want to attend, whether it's Thursday, Friday, or Saturday's event. But have you been to Localicious?
I may have been. I don't. Where was it held in the past? In the same,
Jim?
It's always been at part of the Good Food Festival. So, you know, now it's at the UIC Forum in Chicago at Halstead and Roosevelt.
I kind of remember there's something like that.
Chicago
being...
Cultural Center. Mm-hmm. And then one of our first year was Navy Pier.
Okay, yes, I have. And it's just a great thing. And what you guys are doing is great. So thank you so much for this.
Well, and thank you for listening.
Look forward to seeing you, Steve.
Yeah, I'll be there for sure. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Well, thanks so much for listening. Congratulations.
Well, that's
All right.
great.
So we need to hop to commercials. I'm not sure where the time just went, but Jim Slama from Good Food Film Fest or Good Boy, I'm going to keep doing that today. Good Food Festival. And Paula Sagnoff from Zingerman's Deli, hold on, and we will be right back.
Have you noticed that there's something going on in the food industry? It's becoming much less industrial. People all over Chicagoland, the U.S., and the world are rediscovering fresh, local food. Thursday, March 13th through the 15th, the Good Food Festival and Conference makes its return to Chicago at the UIC Forum. There will be urban farm tours, workshops with experts in a range of fields, and exhibitors from across the country sharing the latest in sustainable food systems, public policy, and of course, great food to enjoy. Just visit goodfoodfestivals.com to learn more. There, you can purchase tickets, get directions, and check out the workshop schedule and the exhibitor list. Sustainable local food systems can transform our communities, our environment, and our economy. But it's up to us to get informed and get involved. It's the 10th Annual Good Food Festival and Conference, March 13th through the 15th at the UIC Forum in Chicago. Brought to you by FamilyFarmed.org. For more information, go to goodfoodfestivals.com.
Julie Rizzo is a woman on a mission, and that's to put herself out of business. She said that on this very program a few weeks ago, but it makes sense when you realize that her company, Recycled Granite, is all about saving millions of pounds of scrap granite from going into landfills. She hopes that someday her company isn't necessary. But in the meantime, she's creating affordable, recycled granite landscape pavers, split stone backsplash tiles, mosaics, and aggregates from beautiful, durable countertop material that otherwise would have been thrown away. Not only that, but recycled granite is creating true green U.S. jobs. No greenwashing in this company. Not only that, but Recycled Granite has created something called the Green Abilities Program, where individuals with disabilities are certified as recycled granite artisan apprentices, and they learn how to specifically work with recycled granite waste. Go to recycledgranite.com to find granite products for your home or project, or call 800-692-4642, 800-692-4642. 4642.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. As winter slowly releases its grip, you're going to want to examine your trees. You might have heard about trees being taken down because of splits in the bark caused by freezing temperatures. Trees are living organisms and have sap inside. This does freeze, and the result is pops, cracks. Wood, trees, move, twist, and bend. When the weather gets to extremes, this could result in cracks. But a crack does not mean the tree needs to be removed. A certified arborist might determine that the tree could benefit from pruning to reduce weight, aerial cabling, growth regulator to slow growth, or crown reduction pruning. These are all tools to help minimize risk. And remember, not all trees respond the same way. One size does not fit all. If you have more questions about cold weather and your trees, talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466. Or see thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
And welcome back You are listening to The Mike Novak Show on WCPT, AM and FM, Chicago's Progressive Talk. That is AM 820, or you can listen to us on the FM dial, 92.5, 92.7, or 99.9, depending on where you are in Chicago. Or you can always catch us streaming live at progressivetalk.com. Did I get that right?
Chicago's Progressive Talk.com.
I knew that didn't sound right coming out of my mouth. Here, I thought I could do this. How long have I heard that phrase? And this is Lisa Albrecht filling in for Mike Novak, and we have Kathleen Thompson here in studio as well. And we, of course, have Denny sitting at the desk giving us a hand, keeping things running as smoothly as he can keep us running.
You guys are doing great.
He's doing the smooth part. We're doing the
the song and dance part.
Don't be so modest. You guys are doing great.
And on the phones, we have Jim Slama from the Good Food Festival, as well as Paul Saginaw of Zingerman's Deli. And they have been giving us a great preview for the festival that will be happening next weekend at the UIC Forum on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Jim, we haven't really talked an awful lot about the Saturday event, which I think is a little more family friendly. It looks like there's a lot of activities for a lot of different folks to be doing that day.
There are. We've got an exhibit hall with over 150 farmers and food artisans, restaurants, NGOs, including a CSA pavilion. A third of our exhibitors are farmers, and if you are interested in buying direct from a farmer, maybe getting, you know, weekly deliveries, both CSAs and also, you know, home delivery services like Fresh Picks are there. You can talk to them about what they offer. There's a kids' corner. And by the way, kids get in for free. So parents buy a ticket, the children get to come along with them. Chef demos from Rick Bayless, one of the best chefs in America. Paul Verant, Erling Wu Bauer from Nico, which is a very hot new restaurant in Chicago. Jason Vincent from Nightwood. A lot of other more in-depth workshops. We've got one on
Jim, is somebody juggling bottles behind you? There's some.
Me. But,
there's a fair amount of noise in your background.
That might be Paul.
Maybe that's Paul.
It's not me.
No, it must. Somebody.
Actually, I was hearing it too, so I don't think it was me. But anyway.
Oh, well, okay.
So we've got a butchering class and with Brian Paulson, Brian Paulson, who's a chef from Michigan, and Michael Ruhlman. Michael Ruhlman's a master author who's, you know, written four cookbooks with Thomas Keller from the French Laundry, so he's serious. And Paulson's a master butcher, so they're actually, for 3 hours, they're butchering one of Greg Gunthorpe's hogs, and then they're going to teach people about curing and making charcuterie. So we have intensives like that, another one on home brewing, an urban garden bus tour, so we're going to four urban farms in Chicago on a bus.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And it's really cool, actually. You know, growing power on the plant and Windy City Harvest and growing home. So four really, you know, seminal Chicago urban farms.
Oh, and those are great places. Those are great places. The plant is just fascinating. I love that place.
It's an incubator for food businesses and urban farming.
Very and, nice. Jim, what does it cost to come? Can you come just on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday, if you just want to go to the exhibit hall, and then we have the Good Food Commons, so a lot of mini workshops, it's $10 online. And
wow.
So it's really affordable. Or if you want, like Paul's doing a workshop so you want to start a food business, based on what he just told us, we couldn't ask for a better expert than he.
Absolutely.
And I think he's on that with maybe Catherine Ann from Catherine Ann Confections, and John Edel from The Plant, I believe, is also on that. So, you know, what a great group of people to learn about starting a food business. Then we've got lots of other workshops, you know, one on the growing food co-op movement. So people can learn about, you know, there's like all these co-ops either just started or about to launch in Chicago. The future of farmers market. So we've got the head of the New York Farmers Markets Program, which I think is the best in America. He's speaking. Some farmers market experts from Green City Market and other farmers markets in Illinois are speaking. So, you know, it's just really a jam-packed day. A couple of films. Actually, one Friday night before Localicious is Symphony of the Soil by Deborah Coons Garcia. You know, Deb was Jerry Garcia's wife. And after his death, she started producing films. She did one on GMOs, which was awesome. And then this is her new film about, you know, the soil and the importance of soil in our life. So it's really just a jam-packed 3 days of fun, but also a lot of information.
I got to tell you, Jim, Michael and I were at the bank the other day getting a new bank account and mentioned the Good Food Festival and started talking about it a little. Our bank president went online, and we didn't get another bit of attention from him from that moment on.
Well, I keep getting lost in the website.
Yeah,
he was people are talking, and I'm reading the website and looking at the schedule.
He just sat there looking at the website. I think our bank president is going to be there at the Good Food Festival.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you for the pitch.
Well, and the website is remarkably easy in terms of, you know, working out your schedule and trying to figure out what you want to go to. It's broken up by each day, and then you can basically put your event into your shopping cart, and it's very affordable. This is an incredible amount of information at such a great fee.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, bottom line is, you know, we're a nonprofit, so we're not here to make a ton of money. We're here to support the movement, support the farmers, support the entrepreneurs, and support people to learn about this and connect with producers and really get inspired so that they can incorporate more of this in their own lives, which, of course, is, you know, I mean, it's happening all around us, and which is an exciting thing. And, you know, when you look at the success of Zingerman's Run, what did you say, Paul, 32 years?
32 years on March 15th.
And 650 employees.
Oh, and then, but on Friday, March 14th, 38 years of marriage. That's even more important.
Wow.
Well, congratulations.
We get to meet your bride in town. Is she going to be hanging out with
Absolutely.
You at Localicious?
Absolutely.
Good.
Well, I think the local food movement has been spreading and spreading, and even small restaurants that that are in the neighborhood have started going in that direction and bragging about it because that's what their customers want, and it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and Paul and I had an interesting way to meet. I was actually at Zingerman's for in Ann Arbor. I was there for the Ohio State-Michigan game. My girlfriend is a Michigan alum, and I'm an Ohio State alum.
Oh, dear.
Tickets. Yeah, I know. Okay, it's a mixed relationship. But she's got season tickets. And so her father used to play for Michigan. So we were in town for the big game, of course. And the right team won, which I was quite grateful for. It was a very excited game. But the next day, we went to Zingerman's Roadhouse for brunch. And, you know, we're sitting there, and I see all these Secret Service agents, you know, with their little earpiece and a Michigan State trooper. I'm like, what the heck is this all about? So I'm like, there's got to be a politician here. So I scan the room, and, like, in the table right next to us is Eric Cantor, the number two in the House of Representatives.
Whoa.
Of the United States. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is a big politician. And I knew that this guy was bottling up the farm bill because, you know, they wanted to really cut food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I'm ready to go over there and talk to him. And my girlfriend's like, if you go crash his family gathering, like, I'm never talking to you again. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to do something. Maybe I'm going to write a story about this. So I decided to write a story about how Eric Cantor needs to be a good food champion. And anybody who can appreciate Zingerman's and all the amazing things that they're doing with local food can certainly support a farm bill that supports local food. So basically, Zingerman's was the analogy. You know, they, you know, employ 600 people. They've created all these businesses. They're all about local food. They're buying local grains. They're buying food from local farmers. And, you know, and then it's like, and so here's all the things that you can do in the farm bill. And then I, you know, called up Zingerman and was like, hey, Paul, would you give me a quote? And so he gave me a, you know, a great quote, you know, talking about, you know, Thomas Jefferson's support of agrarianism and, you know, the backbone of the American economy. And then lo and behold, Paul, you know, I think Eric Cantor listened to us because we got a
That's a great story. That's a great story, Jim. And we're going to have to.
Well, actually, we've got a caller. If you have just a second, Jim, and then we really have to wrap up because we've got Beth Drucker from Go Green Well Met. But Chris from Palatine is calling in, and he's got a question about Wisconsin and buying local.
Yes. I wonder if any of you are familiar with Odessa Piper.
Oh, yeah, Odessa, her restaurant, L'Etoile.
Yeah, right, exactly.
One of the first farm-to-table restaurants, certainly in the Midwest, right?
Yeah, it opened up in 1976, and she sourced, because it's right outside the Dane County Farmers Market, which is the best farmers market in the world. If you've never been there, go, because it's just you could eat, except for the fact they don't have any liquor, you could eat very comfortably just by what you picked up there. You know, they should have some local beer and wine, and then you could totally live off of what you get there. And she was actually a protege of a woman called Joanna Guthrie, who opened up the Ovens of Brittany in 1969. So,
wow.
You know, what you're doing, what you're saying is nothing new in Madison. I mean, they are really very, I think, very advanced there. And, you know, wonder if you're ever going to entertain about getting people from, a little bit north of the border.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people from Wisconsin, both farms that are part of it, as well as food businesses. In fact, Tara Johnson, who created Tara's Way, you know, she's speaking at a financing conference on Thursday. So, you know, quite honestly, I think the local food movement in both Wisconsin and Michigan are in some ways better than Illinois because they've got more fruit and vegetable production than we do. So, yeah, we like Wisconsin. We like our farms, and we encourage them to sell into Chicago. I mean, Illinois is a $50 billion market for food, and probably 97% or more of that is grown out of state and even out of region. So, you know, one of our goals with this thing is to really ramp up the regional production. I mean, talk about an economic engine. If we increased it by 20%, that'd be $10 billion more in new food sales every single year. You know, the economic development and the jobs associated with that.
Well, I think I heard.
But, you know, I'm so sorry, guys. We have got to go. Okay. We are really running out of time. Chris, thank you so much for calling. Folks, you've been listening to Jim Slama at the Good Food Festival. Jim, we are so excited about the event next weekend. Thank you for all your work in hosting it, putting it together yet again. Folks, if you're looking for information, you can go to goodfoodfestivals.com. Paul Saginaw of Zingerman's Deli, thanks so much for taking time on your Sunday, and we look forward to seeing you next week. And with that, we're going to have to run to break real quick, and then we have Beth Drucker of Go Green Well Met if you're looking for something to do today.
If you've ever filed a lawsuit, you know that it can be stressful, even traumatic. And if you've been exposed to asbestos, silica dust, or other lung toxins, you're going to need a law firm that can guide you through the legal maze efficiently and effectively. The attorneys of Penn Rakowski are exactly who you're looking for. They view each client and their needs as unique. They're focused on one thing and one thing only, lung disease. And they're based right here in Illinois and Wisconsin. The lawyers at Penn Rakowski have been representing individuals suffering from lung disease and their families for a combined 35 years. And because they're local, they can come to you. They've successfully represented asbestos workers, electricians, carpenters, machinists, and others throughout both states. Contact Penn Rakowski at dustlaw.com or call them toll-free at 888-LUNG-LAW. That's 888-LUNG-LAW. Penn Rakowski, local, committed, caring.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Have you chosen the perfect veggie seeds for your garden yet? This is the time that you should be grabbing a copy of the D. Landreth Seed Company catalog to find great heirloom and historic plants for this growing season. Or you could go to Landreth Seed Co. on Facebook, where this week they featured some mighty cool plants like dark purple opal basil. Basil was a once much feared herb. Many thought it caused or contributed to madness. Dark opal purple basil is grown for its very showy, deep burgundy leaves. These leaves are rarely used in pestos, but they are showy in a salad and can be used to make an incredibly beautiful vinegar. Another wonderful vegetable is the lemon cucumber. It was brought to the U.S. from India in the late 1800s. The yellow, lemon-sized fruit is slightly sweeter than most cucumbers and has a mild citrus zing and should be harvested when pale yellow because fruit has become golden in color and will be bitter. There are many great seeds, and while it's still winter, check out LandrethSeeds.com or their Facebook page, Landreth Seed Co., C-O, or call 800-654-2407. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784.
And welcome back. This is the Mike Novak Show on WCPT, AM and FM. In studio, Mike is actually not here today, and so we are filling in for him. And I'm excited to say that on the lines we have yet another great caller. We have Beth Drucker, who is taking a couple of minutes out because you are setting up right now for a festival in Wilmette called Going Green Matters. Welcome, Beth.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks so much for taking time, because I know that you are the president of Go Green Wilmette, which is an environmental organization, a grassroots group that got together to change the conversation in your town and community. So thank you for being here. So this is kind of the flagship, one of the star events. I know you guys have a very busy calendar, but this is really kind of where you bring everything together today, isn't it?
That's right. We do events all year long, but this is really our flagship event. And we're expecting more than 1,000 people here, and we've drawn in the past people from 20 different communities.
Wow. And so give us an idea. So Going Green Matters, I've actually been there since every year since you started with this really great festival. And so you are bringing together a number of great vendors, whether it's a nonprofit or actual businesses that will help you do green things at your own home or in your community. Is that right?
That's right. We hope that people will come and get inspired to make changes that are really going to be good for the planet and good for them. We have 106 different exhibits at this show.
Wow.
There's something for everybody, whether you're interested in greening your lawn care practices or eating in a way that's better for the planet and for you, home energy issues, water issues, transportation. One of the most exciting things about the show is that we have 9 of the best hybrid and electric cars all on exhibit in half a block. So you get to walk and see 9 of your best car choices in one place. And we don't think there's anywhere else you can see that as comfortably as Going Green Matters.
That's great. So the cars will actually all be out there so people can come and see and touch and feel and compare. And
they can literally kick the tires.
That's really exciting. Well, and you have a lot of, in addition to having 150 exhibitors, you also have some demonstrations going on today.
Yes, we have cooking demonstrations by Farmhouse Restaurant. They have a city restaurant and one in Evanston. They specialize in locally sourced food, and that's what we're encouraging people to do. So we're very excited about that. We've got a PACE bus where you can actually figure out how to put your bike on the front of a bus. You can start seeds for your vegetable garden downstairs. There's also LED lighting options. That's something that everybody wants a little more information about.
Mm-hmm.
So in one place, you can see a demonstration of what we think are the 5 best LED lighting choices right in one place.
Well, one of the things that I love about this event is just the compact availability
of tremendous amount of information. So if you're new to the green world or living sustainably and are worried about how you're impacting water or food or air or you know, whatever your concern might be, you've pretty much got it covered here. You can really kind of dive in without being embarrassed about not knowing what
and
you're
speaking
at.
Of not knowing, I'm probably just missed it, but where is the fair?
We haven't actually said. So
our event is in Wilmette. It is at 10th Avenue and Greenleaf at the Women's Club of Wilmette. It's halfway between the Metra station and the CTA station, so it's a walkable location. There will be signage about parking for you when you arrive if you're driving. Downstairs, on the show's on two levels. Upstairs is companies with green products and services and nonprofit organizations. Downstairs is a very special place called the Interactive Ecozone, and that's where Friends of Go Green Wilmette, who are passionate and knowledgeable, share their knowledge with people. So that's a really fun interactive place for people to go if you want to learn about backyard composting, where does your water go, how to have a vegetable garden. We're doing something interesting this year. We're launching a campaign called Yard Sharing, which is sweeping the country, where we put together people with sunny yards and people who know a lot about gardening but who don't have a sunny yard, and having them share a garden. So
what a great idea. I want to get involved in
All
that.
Right. So that's something that's really fun. And there is a special emphasis this year on water. The president of the Board of Trustees of Wilmette, Bob Belinsky, came to our organization. Wilmette is the co-sponsor of the event, and said stormwater issues are such a big issue for our entire community and all of Chicagoland.
It's true.
Would you have a special emphasis on water? So we have a very special area. We call it Conversations About Water with Policymakers and Experts. And we're having water experts from all over Chicagoland here to talk to local governmental officials and residents about special water issues. How do we prevent the flooding without polluting the lake at the same time? And that is going to be a really fruitful area, and we're hoping that some really good solutions come out of those conversations.
That sounds great. We could use some information about that so that our basement doesn't flood for the sixth time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of problems. Well, and I think in particular, like I'm very sensitive about water these days, just primarily because, you know, you see the huge disasters that came out of Virginia and the leaking chemicals and then the coal slurry spills. And even just here we have Petcoke sitting on the Calumet River. So
and not to mention the Asian carp that are winding their way into Lake Michigan past the electric fence.
So what can my kids do today, Beth? Because I'm sure everybody is pretty stir-crazy and ready to get out of the house. So you mentioned that you have some events that kids can participate in?
Yes, this is a really family-friendly event. So we have everything from a little water passport program for the 10 and under group. We have a librarian coming to read nature books to children. But we've got a lot for middle school and high school students. We're going to have also electric bikes. We're going to have hot water solar panels actually making electricity outside the event. We are going to be we have an aquaponics display, so we will actually have a display with fish showing how we can grow fish indoors. And the food demonstrations are fun. We have eco arts and crafts. And we also have a plastic bag monster, something that everyone should meet. It's an enormous costume inspired by the movie Bagot, a jumpsuit with about 1,500 plastic bags. And it looks pretty horrifying. That's the amount of plastic bags that most families use in just 1 year. So come, you can meet the plastic bag monster. We're going to have vermiculture, worms working. And we also have a big raffle, which is terrific. The entire event is made possible by the generous sponsorship of a lot of different companies who believe in what we're doing and feel like there's a real future in green jobs and the green economy. So we really feel grateful that these companies are sponsoring us. It pays for the show. It also funds our educational programs all year long.
Well, and if people would like to get more information, again, the festival or the fair is today in Wilmette at 938 Greenleaf. You can go to goinggreenmatters.org for more details. And one of the things that I always love every single year, and I walked through my office yesterday looking for, or Friday looking for items, you have a special recycling event as well happening at the same time. So if people have electronics recycling, it looks like this year you're taking bikes and textiles as well?
Yes, that's new. The recycling is just a terrific opportunity to clean off your shelves. And that is from 12 to 4, so it's an hour earlier than the event. That is happening at Central School on Central Street, just north of our venue. The address for the club is 930 Greenleaf.
Oh, did I say it wrong?
If you're putting it into your
textile recycling, that's a great opportunity because that's very difficult. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to find places that will accept textiles. And so
they're accepting shoes. And so you can take clothes that are too battered that you think, oh, no one will ever wear these clothes. There's a value to that product. And so we're allowing people to literally clear out their rag piles and put that to good use.
Well, I think it's a great way to spend your afternoon. Beth, I want to thank you so much first for putting the fair on and for all your hard work. I think we need to have you on again in the future because towns can replicate Beth's great work. You can go to goinggreenmatters.org. But we are done, Kathleen.
We are.
I cannot believe where this time went. It's been a fun morning, but we're definitely looking forward to having Mike Novak back next week. Again, this is the Mike Novak Show. Thank you so much to everybody for listening. Please stay tuned in because right behind us, we have Out Chicago, which will be grabbing our chairs and filling our seats. And we certainly thank everybody for listening today. Have a great day, despite having sprung forward with a new hour. And we'll catch you next week. As we always say, go green or
go home.